कदाचित्
वेदर
कूर्णम्
The Kurus,
Parama,
greatest,
Suhit,
Well-wisher,
Na,
Al,
Bama,
brother-in-law,
Sa,
he,
Asti,
is,
Sukam,
happy,
Anga,
O
Udava,
Sori,
Vasude,
Ya,
one who,
Vai,
certainly,
Sasanam,
of the sisters,
Pitravat,
like a father,
Tadati,
gives,
Varan,
everything desirable,
Vadanya,
munificent,
Vara,
wife.
Tarpanina,
by pleasing.
Please tell me whether the best friend of the Kurus, our brother-in-law Vasudev, is doing well. He is very munificent. He is like a father to his sisters, and he is always pleasing to his wives. So we'll repeat responsibly. Please tell me whether the best friend of the Kurus, our brother-in-law Vasudev,
is doing well.
He is very munificent.
He is like a father to his sisters.
And he is always pleasing to his wives.
Bought by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Lord Krishna's father, Vasudev, had 16 wives, and one of them, named Puravi or Rahini, the mother of Baladev, was the sister of Vidura. Vasudev, therefore, was the husband of Vidura's sister, and thus they were brothers-in-law. Vasudev's sister, Kunti, was the wife of Pandu, Vidura's elder brother. And in that sense also, Vasudev was brother-in-law to Vidura. Kunti was younger than Vasudev, and it was the duty of the elder brother to treat younger sisters as daughters. Whenever anything was needed by Kunti, it was munificently delivered by Vasudev due to his great love for his younger sister. Vasudev never dissatisfied his wives, and at the same time he supplied the objects desired by his sister. He had special attention for Kunti because she became a widow at an early age. While inquiring about Vasudev's welfare, Vidura remembered all about him and the family relationship. So Srimad Bhagavatam
is supreme literature, not different from Sri Krishna, and it is the guiding light. People should get light or knowledge or direction in the age of Kali from the Srimad Bhagavatam particularly. This is Sudha Goswami became the acharya of all the Puranas because his father
that was Ramahashan Sutan, was killed by Balaram, and because he became a little proud, a lot proud, and Ramahashan Sutta, he was the acharya or the professor for especially the Puranas, and Sutta Goswami then took charge of teaching that Puranic knowledge, which is very important in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the knowledge of the Puranas is more important in one sense than studying the original Vedas, because it's not possible for people to actually understand, you know, or even take interest, you know, in the original Vedas. The Puranas are much more attractive to people in the age of Kali. And but of course, some people, I know it's there's a very fashionable thing amongst the Indian community, the Hindu community, is the Satyanarayana puja they do, where they, you know, once a year, there's some special occasion, or once a month or something, they do the Satyanarayana. I think it comes from the there's one Purana, I think it might be the Bhavishya Purana. It describes, there's a little portion there describes, and you know, there's a few stories about truthfulness and, you know, what have you. So, you know, I think there's about five stories, and they recite those stories and they chant various mantras and worship the Lord Narayan. I usually try to explain them because I quite often get invited to those events. And as we do, we try and slip in a little bit of Krishna consciousness where we can. And I explain to them that because they don't even know where this thing comes from. Someone else in the Hindu community has done it, and then they think, oh, well, you know, we'll do it. They don't know who actually taught these things or where it actually comes from. They don't research it. I explained to them that it actually, this is being taught by, it's actually being spoken. Even when you read the Satyanarayana story, it's spoken by Sutta Goswami. And so I explained to them that he is the acharya for all the Puranas. And by his own words, he says that actually the best Purana to read is the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, if one doesn't read the Srimad Bhagavatam in the age of Kali, that person is practically condemned, you know, whatever they're doing. You know. There are very strong descriptions about the life, the uselessness of a life of a person who never reads the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, in the age of Kali. Very unfortunate. And especially if they purposely avoid it. But this Srimad Bhagavatam is the real essential understanding of all religious principles from the very beginning right up to the most elevated understanding and moods, which are a little window to the topmost rasas within the spiritual world. So Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important. So then we may question, you know, why we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and we're hearing about, you know, the brother-in-law and, you know, the sister and, you know, the wives and, you know, like this, that it would appear to be, you know, some, you know, ordinary topics to, you know, a materialistic person. But factually, you know, this is Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us the very, very elevated philosophy. Now, on a very ordinary level, of course, we can look at the dealings between personalities, and what we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam is people deal with each other in a very normal way. And because these things are, abnormal these days, from very childhood, if you associate with children in the schoolyard, if there's a brother and he has a younger sister, he probably, won't hang around with them. He won't look after, he won't want to have much to do with it. He'll be embarrassed. Oh, that's my younger sister, And sometimes, quite often, they will bully them, the younger sister. If someone takes care of, such personalities like their younger sister, they may get teased and they may get bullied, for doing something so weird, So, that's become the normal behaviour. Right. Because there's so much harassment from... It's everything has become so disturbed, it's practically, it's difficult to talk about, but we just mentioned, a few things what we can, but yes, everything in Kali Yuga is extremely polluted and disturbed. And, what is normal, even in one generation, like when I was growing up, my family didn't have much education. I didn't have much education, but one of the things I was always taught was you must protect and look after your younger sisters. There was no way that I could ever go home to my parents and somehow one of my sisters has been bullied or harassed or something happened and I didn't take care of it. I'd be in so much trouble like that. But, that has become something, abnormal these days. Or, if you mention these things, it's like the first time they've ever heard it, and but they don't really practice it. So the Bhagavatam is just filled with very sweet behaviour, the natural relationships on all levels. Brother-in-law, these wonderful activities where, you see when someone visits, there's a whole process of allowing them to settle, take a seat, have a drink of water, feel a bit relaxed. There might be some really important discussion why the person came, but you sort of gradually lead into it. You ask them about how they're feeling and is there anything they can do, and like that, and then gradually the topic will come up that's quite important, because these days, of course, people will meet, especially because of the introduction of the phone, introduction of the telephone, means that people's habit now is when they think of something, they call someone and ask them about that thing. Even no matter how distressing that particular thing is, come in my mind, I'll ring that person up. You don't ask them, are you eating? Are you, were you taking rest? Were you, talking to someone? There's and they just get straight into it. So therefore, because of the telephone, people don't realise that becomes the etiquette in all levels of conversation. Like that, that no one really practices any other. So these things here in the Bhagavatam, they show us what is normal, and is an absolute platform of what is normal or ordinary or proper behaviour, and it's very sweet, very wonderful. We also learn that on the spiritual platform, there's no false renunciation. There's no false rejection. Even though on the spiritual platform, all of these personalities are the greatest renunciates. Here we're talking about Vidura, Kunti, Rohini, Vasudeva. These persons, they're
ability to undergo great austerity, to be completely detached from even the slightest thought of sense gratification, is unparalleled. They still maintain ordinary transactions. There's no false rejection of anything which this is a principle, of course, which is we learned from the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Of course, today is the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. One of the main things we can do to honour and to serve Rupa Goswami to serve Rupa Goswami and for Rupa Goswami to be very happy to accept that service and to give his blessings to all of us, is to remember his instructions, you know, his principal instructions. And he taught this principle as one of the founding principles of the Krishna consciousness movement, which has to be adopted in Kali Yuga in order to develop one's spiritual life and help others, is that one should not renounce things artificially which actually can be used in the service of Krishna. One should understand that everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy. Although everything is Krishna, at the same time everything is not Krishna. So this principle of utility is not easily understood, because generally people who try to make advancement in spiritual life will begin to try to become detached from everything in the material world as Maya, and try to reject everything. And gradually, we see that in Kali Yuga, so many people believe that they can become God because everything is one. Everything ultimately is one, that's what they say. I mean, it is there in the Vedas, everything is one, but they misunderstand it. Everything is one in quality, not quantity. So people even believe that they can be Krishna or Narayan or Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that they can become liberated. When they become liberated, they become one with God. That is their understanding. Of course, one may question, if you are God, that means you are everywhere, you are all knowing, you are within every atom. How come you appear to be such a fool, a rascal? And may say, yes, I am God, but just currently I've forgotten my supreme knowledge, by my meditation and practices, it will soon come back to me. But at the moment, I am under the influence of Maya. So then we may ask, then that means that Maya is greater than God. Therefore, your philosophy is flawed, and ultimately, you will always remain a fool. So, but also, people think that if everything is God, not only can we worship ourselves as God, but we can worship everything as God. So people say, why go to the temple? I think when Vivekananda came in 1898 or something like that to New York, he gave his great speech, why are you going to the church? He caused a big uproar. Why are you going to the churches and the temples? God is everywhere, like this. And of course people follow this. Why worship the deities? Because everything is God. God is everywhere. Why are you going to the temples? I don't. Because Prabhupada's response to that is, if God is everywhere, then why is he not in the temple? But,
You know, actually, Srila Prabhupada says that just like this microphone is, God is everything. So one may say, well, this microphone is one with God. Why not worship the microphone? But Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, if one worships the microphone instead of the deity of the Lord, that person is, you know, a great fool. It is not authorized, and there is no value. You imagine how many people. So we have Janmashtami, right? And you know, we're asking everyone, big festival, the Hare Krishna temple. We've got the microphone on the altar. We might even have a couple of batteries that go with it. You know, and or Govardhan Puja. We build a big hill. We put the microphone at the top of the hill. We all dance around. Who will come? Yeah. And what will the microphone think about it? But but actually, you know, if we worship the deity of Krishna, you know, it helps us to absorb ourselves in the personality of Godhead, not in some impersonal concept. And because the deity is authorized by the Supreme Lord, because that process of teaching people to be personal, to worship the Lord who has a personal form, therefore he authorizes it and he accepts that service. And through the deity, of course, just like here, we in this Bhagavatam, we learn to treat the deity of the Lord as a person. Because when we get to the spiritual world, we will actually be treating Krishna as a person, because he is a person. So we and the deity is a person. But you know, how can you learn that process? If you, what would you offer to a microphone? You can't cook for it. You can't dress it. You can't. You know, it just, that sense of personalism is just not there. So, you know, the deity worship, it has so many practical applications which are conducive. And of course, when you remember the deity form, you actually remember the form of Krishna, which is completely transcendental and spiritual. So, but the microphone can be used, the principle of utility is there. Srila Prabhupada explained that the microphone can be used so that thousands and thousands of people can hear the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So it's not rejected, but everything is utilized according to its proper facility that it provides. So there's that story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that when he was a little boy, you know, I think he started eating dirt or something. His mother said, "Why are you eating dirt?" And he said the same philosophy. "Oh, you know, I've heard that everything is one and like that." But, you know, she explained. But, you know, yes, you know, everything is one, but everything should be utilized according to its facility. So you can, for instance, although it's dirt, you know, a pot is, you know, the same as earth. But if you want to carry water, you have to use the pot. You can't just use the earth. See? So although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just a little child, he understood. So, yet this philosophy is not understood even by great scholars and professors, because one has to be a devotee of the Lord. If one is a devotee of the Lord, that person can understand this very difficult philosophy in one sense. Difficult in the sense that it can't be understood by one's material intelligence. Very easy if one becomes a devotee of the Lord, then by spiritual intelligence, by the grace of the Lord, one can understand, even a young child can understand this philosophy, how everything is the one with God, being the energy of God, and it can be utilized. And at the same time, everything is not God. You can't worship everything as God, although you can utilize everything in God's service in the proper way, because the Supreme Lord He resides in the spiritual abode, and sometimes, so although everything is God, here, you know, he is showing, although he is everything, still he's Vasudeva's brother-in-law. You know, he has a very, in one sense, it appears to be a very limited context. You know, he's the, he's got sisters and wives. It appears to be a, you know, a limited material concept. And then you say, well, that's if he's, you know, Vasudeva's brother-in-law, how can he also be everything and everywhere? So this Krishna is showing this, yes. God, this is God's, you know, mysterious, by his energies, he can be in this ordinary, human-like sense, but it doesn't take away his godhood. Therefore, even though he is dealing with his relatives like an ordinary family member, at the same time, you know, we see that he's lifting the Govardhan Hill and also marrying 16,108 wives and living with them simultaneously. So he's an ordinary husband. He's an ordinary henpecked husband, but there's something a little bit unusual in that he's living in 16,108 different forms simultaneously with 16,108 wives, each with their own palace. Each palace is something which is, you know, inconceivable in itself, and has, you know, so many sons and daughters with each of those wives, and he's gradually, his family ends up to be, you know, something like a billion people or something like that. So he appears to be an ordinary person, but at the same time he doesn't lose his godhood. So this philosophy is understood by the devotees. One may be the most elevated person in the material sense, very proud of their knowledge, very proud of their, you know, wealth or birth or, you know, what have you. But such a person cannot understand this if they're not a devotee of the Lord. But a person, even though born in the family of dog eaters or pig eaters, you know, they're considered not very elevated. You know, someone may be born in a very low circumstances, but that person can actually, if they're a devotee of the Lord, they can be the most elevated person with the most wonderful qualities, just as we're seeing here with Vidura and Vasudeva, you know, very, very wonderful qualities. Vidura himself was actually born, you know, in, through the mother who was a Sudrani, so he was born in one sense through a Sudra's family. Rupa Goswami describes that, and of course, we understand this philosophy because it has been passed down by Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the various Goswamis of Vrindavan. Otherwise, we'd have no knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. We wouldn't even know about Krishna. We wouldn't be thinking about Krishna. We wouldn't have temples. We wouldn't have Srimad Bhagavatam. This was all started by the Goswamis of Vrindavan under the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he ordered Rupa and Sanatana, you go to Vrindavan, which is basically, you know, there were some villages and some paddy fields like that, and you excavate, you know, find the lost places of pilgrimage associated with Krishna's pastimes. And you establish temples. And you know, study the scriptures and you write the essence of that in the Vaishnava devotional books. And, you know, you teach this to the Vaishnava community. So they did that. They went to Vrindavan. There were just trees and, you know, little ponds and what have you. And Vrindavan is there now because those Goswamis of Vrindavan established it, established the temples of Krishna. And Just like we're coming up to the festivals of Balaram and Janmashtami and Radharani, we only know how to perform those ceremonies, and we only have an inclination to perform those ceremonies because Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami have actually passed that down to us. They've given us, you know, that is their work, that is their credit. We only understand that we have the right to worship the deities by the teach, because that is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is taught in the books by the Goswamis. They have very elaborately, you know, studied the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and the Puranas, and they have condensed the essence of those in books such as Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. So, in the very beginning of the Nectar Devotion, it tells you, you know, Rupa Goswami tells you, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is that any person, man, woman, you know, from any nation, from any birth, any person in this world can be elevated to the most highest level of self-realization and God-realization by following the principles taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It does not matter. Okay? Otherwise, without understanding those teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there would be a very limited few people who may be worshipping Krishna, and even those personalities, without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution, may actually be doing it in the wrong or incorrect way. But by the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings has come down through Rupa Goswami, and he is explained. You know, there are 64 items of deity worship, and there are so many different, 9 different processes of devotional service. One of those processes, of course, is archanam, or worshipping the deity, of which all these different festivals, and temple worship is part of, archanam and padasevanam. And that is elaborated into 64 different specific items like that. So these things are all, whatever we're doing, we're actually doing by the grace of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, he described that if you dedicate your mind, your words, your activities, and your wealth, whatever you have, don't be like the proud materialist who is, proud of their, knowledge and wealth and birth and what have you, but does not use any of it in Krishna's service, and therefore they have to take birth again, sometimes even as a worm in stool. Don't be like that. Utilize everything you have to serve Krishna. Understand, don't be proud, but be humble. The Vaishnava, the devotee, is humble. Everything I have, my birth, my wealth, my knowledge, my body, my beauty, it is useless if I don't engage it in the service of Krishna. That is a proper mood of humility. And if a person does that, Rupa Goswami, presenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, that person is a liberated person within this body, within this lifetime. That person does not have to change their position. And after leaving this body, that person will take a spiritual body. Just like these personalities here, Vasudev, and Vidura, they're associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a, what appears to be a, an ordinary situation, in a very personal way. It doesn't matter whether they're women, younger sisters, older brothers, uncles, brother-in-law, sudras. It doesn't matter. They're associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who would want to be, a big puffed-up brahmana, supposedly most elevated birth, and they have not even a speck of Krishna consciousness? Who would want to, take their birth like that? Rather, I take, as Bhaktivinoda the cause is, let me take birth as an insect in the home of a devotee of Krishna. So, and Prahlad Maharaj, and because these verses are also quoted by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion, he says that that person, that liberated person engaging everything in the service of Krishna, they are better than a person born in a Brahmana family who has no Krishna consciousness. And that that person, that devotee, even though born in a very low circumstances, apparently, or materially, you know, their circumstances for one reason or another appears to be something very, you know, insignificant. But that person can purify everyone they come in contact with. Whereas the Brahmana, without Krishna consciousness, they cannot even purify themselves, not to speak of others. So, and of course this is Vidura's position. Vidura, you know, he has taken birth, he you know, in the family of a Sudrani, but he has an intimate connection with Krishna, and wherever he goes, he purifies everyone. And we see that Dhritarashtra, he is very proud. Oh, I have my kingdom, you know, and I have, you know, this and I have that and so many powerful sons and, you know, and I have wealth and this and that. Very, very proud, but his Krishna consciousness is not there. And therefore his life is completely unfortunate. And Vidura practically has nothing. And no elevated birth or wealth or kingdom. But we see that he comes back after his pilgrimage and he actually purifies Dhritarashtra and sends him back to Godhead along with Kandari like this. So this is the wonderful service of these great personalities such as Rupa Goswami, because today is also the disappearance of Gauri Das Pandit. Gauri Das Pandit. We see that not just 5,000 years ago, Krishna and his associates were present, but even 500 years ago, Krishna was present. You know, and so many people related with him again. And, you know, these great personalities, Gauri Das Pandit, I think, was one of the cowherd boys. Might have been Sabal. And I think he was the spiritual master of was it Hridoy Chaitanya, sometimes also called Hridoy Ananda, who was the spiritual master of Shamananda, one of them. So, and this is just this is a few hundred years ago, and of course, you know, just within recent history, you know, we have another resident of the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada, has, you know, so we're associating still, because Srila Prabhupada is very much, you know, present within every aspect of ISKCON, that he is accepting our service as the, you know, guru, the Shiksha guru for everyone, because people have their individual Diksha gurus, but, you know, everyone offer service to Srila Prabhupada, who is a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then the followers of Srila Prabhupada, they are his associates. We're associating with them, which is as good as associating with Prabhupada, which is as good as associating with the Goswamis, which is as good as associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is as good as associating with Krishna. So, you know, we have a wonderful opportunity to, you know, enter into that family of Krishna and associate with Krishna and his wonderful devotees. So this is a very wonderful feature of this Krishna consciousness movement. Very, very wonderful movement, this International Society of Krishna Consciousness, the opportunities present. One doesn't have to necessarily think, oh, you know, when I go back to Godhead or when this happens or when that happens, then I'll be fortunate. If you can actually do even the slightest service, even the smallest service within ISKCON, then the Krishna and his associates are personally accepting that. It's like Prabhupada, you know, said that if you just read Rupa Goswami's books, study his philosophy, you're worshipping his lotus feet. And Rupa Goswami is accepting that worship. If you practice that, in other words, you help people to become elevated to Krishna consciousness through those principles. Preaching is the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, purity is the force. If you help people to become Krishna conscious, then you know you are serving, you're offering service, personal service, the best service, the most confidential service to Rupa Goswami and all his followers at that. And anything, therefore, even, you know, you sweep the floor, it may appear to be something, oh, that is not, you know, I just sweep, I didn't do much service today, I just sweep it. But you have done some service for the associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you know, it becomes huge, you know, when you actually consider, you know, the opportunity that is there. So, these are the wonderful teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're very fortunate to have and to understand, because devotees like Rupa Goswami have explained every single word so that we get the, you know, the proper meaning and the full context. And they have encouraged devotees right down to Srila Prabhupada to translate these and to spread this wonderful literature all over the world. So I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Visas from him, and so he was. He came to Australia. He was one of the devotees who literally helped to kickstart, you know, the whole Australian. So thanks for reminding me of that. So Madhav Visas from him passed away on the 6th of this month, and when he came, of course, he wanted to introduce the Rath Yatra festival. And at that stage, you know, some of the different leaders and, of the temples and what have you were saying that, but, you know, we have books we have to, you know, purchase and distribute and so many things. He said, you do this festival, it will unite the whole, all the different devotees from all over Australia. So many devotees will be made from that Rath Yatra festival. They will collect funds and they will distribute the books. And he did that wonderful, you know, introduce that, you know, very, very wonderful intelligence for utilizing things in such a way, and utilizing one's own propensity and utilizing the ability of everyone. Just draw so many devotees to come, and then they all have their own particular qualification for serving Krishna. Every spirit soul, unlimited spirit souls, and every spirit soul is unique in that they have a unique way that they can serve Krishna, and that gives them their own. So although we're all spirit souls, we all have the same spiritual Satchitananda qualities, but each and every spirit soul has that unique way that they can serve Krishna, which becomes more and more manifest as we become purified in Krishna consciousness. So Madhavisa Prabhu, he helped to kickstart this Australian Yatra, and I'm sure he would be, so in his memory also, we remember his contribution. And of course, you know, this is very, it's very helpful for us to, you know, be a little humble. We sometimes become absorbed in the greatness of their own, you know, position, even as devotees. But actually, practically whatever we're doing, we really owe that to someone else who has set us up with the ability and the facility to do the service that we're doing and trained us up.
So we should always be offer due respect to all the great Vaishnavas who have helped us to come to this position. Jai, all those who